So we finally wrapped up Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And we realized that meditating on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, if we are meditating on these things, that God is doing amazing things through that. He gives us the ability to rejoice. He gives us the ability to receive glory and honor and blessing through focusing on who he is and who he called us to be. And so as we kind of wrapped up the mentality of understanding what it is to have a spirit that is focused on God, I wanted to step back and just evaluate honestly the reality that there is another way of thinking. There are two ways of thinking, and Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So why go here? We've been spending pretty much ever since COVID started talking about having a right mindset. We've been talking about the value of thinking about the things that God wants us to think about. So if we're focusing on the right things, why do we need to think about anything else? The reason we need to think about the opposite side of this is because when we don't think about what God wants us to think about, there are consequences. There are problems that arise. And so the first thing we learn from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, is that there literally are two ways of thinking. Okay? Now, many of us, when we think about the flesh, we think of what the Apostle John said in 1 John, which is the idea of people giving themselves over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we see these things and we go, okay, well, this is when I am completely and totally living for my carnal nature. And so we recognize and we can look at, like, look, if I am trying to make myself feel good physically with things that do not honor God, then I know that I am focusing on the flesh. And so we can look at that and we go, okay, well, that's easy. The lust of the eyes, that's me wanting things that I don't have. That's me looking at somebody else's and saying, this is the thing that would be good for me. And so when we can recognize that when I'm looking at things other than what God gave me and saying, I want that, it's not right that they have that and I don't have that, then we can recognize that's me focusing on the flesh. When I am prideful, when I do the things that I do to try and receive attention, when I do the things that I do to for my own glory, which Jesus condemned the Pharisees for doing, right? He said, you know, if you go up here and you say these magnificent prayers so that they can be heard by men, know that the only praise you receive is from men. God's not praised when you go up there and make yourself the star, when you create yourself to be the show. I was just reading in the gospel or in the book of Acts, in my personal reading, about King Herod and how the people were screaming, he is a god and not a man. And God sent an angel to eat him up with worms. Why? Because it was prideful. He thought so highly of himself that he did not even consider the fact that the praise that he was allowing to be heaped on him only should be received by God. And so we can look at these aspects and we can say, okay, well, I know those are sinful. So this is the fleshly over here. And then we talked about what it is to have a godly mindset. But But the problem that I realized as I was thinking and praying and preparing this is the reality that sometimes we don't really dig deep into the mindset of things. So many times in our lives, what ends up happening is that we think of things in a gray area, right? For example, so many people who claim to walk with Christ today are willing to look at things like abortion and say, well, you know what? Yeah, it's bad, okay? But, you know, if the mother doesn't have an abortion, what's her life going to be like? You know, this is a young girl. You know, she's got a whole future ahead of her, and that baby's going to stop her from having a future. And so, you know, it maybe it's okay because, you know, what about her life? What about her future? I've heard people who claim to be Christians who will say things like, well, why have a child that nobody wants? This baby is going to end up being, you know, in a foster care home, and their life is going to be miserable, and it's going to be so hard for them. And so, you know, why put that child through that? Why make them go through these difficult situations that life is going to throw at them? I've seen far too much lately a mindset among people that would justify wrongdoing because of a cause, where people are willing to say, well, since what I believe that you are standing up for is right, it's okay that you bust out the windows of a private business, that it's okay for you to do things that are wrong because what you are standing up for is right and good. We know for a fact that Black Lives Matter at this church. They matter dearly. We know that the lives of the people that are in our community matter, and no one should have to be unnecessarily afraid for their lives. But when we take something that we know is true and good and start performing bad actions in the name of it, what does that actually say? We as believers have to stand up and call good good and wicked wicked. And the simple reality is that in our society, things have become so completely twisted that people don't realize that they are thinking in a worldly way, that their mindsets and their perspectives have become so completely worldly that they're unaware. We need to have compassion for people. I had a coworker that shared with me years back when I was down in the Springs. I was working as an event manager, and I had a coworker who we had multiple debates about abortion. And she finally one day she confessed to me, John, I had an abortion. I had an abortion because I was married to a man who was abusing me, and I did not want to have an eternal link to that man. My response to her was, I am so sorry that you had to go through that. I'm so sorry that that became your reality and that was what you felt like you had to do. It's not a matter, listen, talking about what's right and good is not a matter of not having compassion. It's not a matter of saying, I don't love you because you made a bad choice or made a choice that goes against what God said. I love you, and I wish that you had not had to bear that burden. But there's a better way. There are two ways of thinking, and when we think in worldly perspectives, when we allow ourselves to have a worldly mindset, bad things come from doing that. See, the simple fact is, we're told that there are these two mindsets. There's the mindset of the flesh, and there's the mindset of the spirit, okay? And these two ways lead in very different directions. Very different directions for our lives. So that's our second point. These ways lead to two different paths. And the choices of these paths are life and death. Did you hear what I said? The choices of these paths are life and death. If I pick up the phone and call you, you're the lucky one that I pick up the phone and call and I go, I need you to come over to my house. It's a matter of life and death. What is your thought process at that moment? What are you thinking? I can tell you, if you called me and said, I need you over at my house, this is a matter of life and death, I'm getting in the car. I'm heading over. Why? This has got to matter. It's got to be huge. Because life and death is the difference between hope and nothing. It is everything. It matters so very much which direction we go. And Paul is telling the church in Rome where their minds were, what they were thinking about, and what they were focusing on was so important that they needed to make sure they kept their minds in the right place. It was absolutely vital for them to be thinking about the right things. Why? Because it was the difference between life and death. I want you to realize how much your thoughts will affect your outcomes. Because the reality is, if I'm honest with myself, which I try to be, I don't always treat my mindset like that. And I'm guessing you don't either. I'm guessing, like me, you probably have times where you just are going through the motions of life. I'm guessing, like me, there are times when you just get up in the morning and you've got so much to do that you start doing, and then you're not even really thinking about, is my mindset good? Did I set my heart on Christ? Did I set my heart on His path? Did I seek out a way for Him to be the hope in my life? Am I thinking about, what is your will for me today, Lord? Or am I asking Him to guide me and give me my path? Because a lot of times when things get busy, that all goes out the window because it's got to get done. Everything has to happen. I've got to get here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And slowly but surely, Satan takes those moments and flips them on me. And he uses them to allow me to think in wrong ways, to enter into a conversation where the old man is just ready to pour out of me. Whether it's a crass conversation, whether it's people talking about things that I know are wrong, whether it's seeing things that lead to temptation, whether it's allowing myself to walk down paths that I shouldn't walk down. And the reason that I get there is because in the first place, I did not stop and ask myself, what is God's will in this moment? Is this thing true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it honorable? Is it of good reputation? Is it excellent? Is it admirable? Is it any of these things? Because those things are the things that lead to life and peace. Amen? The fleshly mind leads to destruction. See, when we look at this passage, it's important to recognize that it leads to death, that fleshly thinking leads to death. Now, I want to point out that there are three separate ideas of death that we need to talk about in regard to this principle. The first is that sin often leads to physical death. Okay? It's a reality of our world. The simple fact of the matter is that when people abuse drugs, when people abuse alcohol, it starts destroying their body. Amen? You can see it. When we go out and do what we can to help the homeless, and you walk by and you see somebody's face with sores all over it, when you see teeth rotting out, when you see how thin they are, you see what drugs are doing. They are looking for their pleasure, for their comfort in their flesh, the lust of the flesh. We see it as people become more and more promiscuous in our world, that sexually transmitted diseases run rampant, that people are dying on a consistent basis from HIV and AIDS and other different diseases that cut their lives short. Because rather than looking at the physical relationships in the way that God intended, with one man, one woman for life, people live out these other paths and it literally kills them. People end up dead because of their associations. According to the NWI Times, the average life expectancy of an active gang member is 20 years and 5 months. Let that soak in. Especially when you look at the reality that the average lifespan of a person is 75 years. There are young people whose lives are being cut short by 55 years because of who they choose to associate with, because of who they choose to walk alongside of. A mind focused on the flesh, a mind focused on worldly living, leads to physical death. Another form of death is the second death that comes to those who are outside of Jesus Christ. The simple fact of the matter is, like it just said, that being of a fleshly mind means being at enmity with God, means being hostile to God. Can you imagine having a mindset that completely says, I don't want anything to do with you? And that leads us in very bad places. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And a fleshly mind causes us to reject Jesus. It causes us to say, I want what I want more than I want what God wants. I want my world to be the way that I want my world to be. And therefore, that's just how it is. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. And brothers and sisters, there's a consequence. Jesus talked more about hell than any other thing in his time on earth. Do you know why? It's not to scare people. It's not so that we're all quaking in our boots and fearful that maybe someday we won't get to go to heaven. It's because he wanted people to know that there are certain realities to life, that when you do not choose God, when you do not choose a relationship with him, there are eternal consequences. There is eternal separation from God. And that breaks my heart. I don't want to see anyone experience what the Bible tells us is coming, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where it feels like your body's constantly being eaten by worms. It's a harsh reality, and I think you guys know from the time I've been preaching here, it's not my favorite subject. But it's a reality. And that's what the fleshly mind leads to. The final aspect of this forms of death is the fact that it will also separate Christians from the work that God wants to do in their life. So that's the thing. We have to understand death in its clearest definition is the idea of separation, right? When our physical bodies die, what that means is our physical body is separated from our spirit. Our spirit goes on to be with the Lord. When we look at the second death that is coming, it is about separation. It is about the souls of those who do not choose Christ being separated from God eternally. No more connection. It's over. It's gone. And the simple fact of the matter is that when we as believers choose to continue to live in the flesh, we separate ourselves from the work of God. This is why Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:30 not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because when we choose to live in a fleshly manner, when we choose to put our sinful thoughts and ideas above what God is trying to do in our life, we quench the work that he could be doing in us. God cannot be where sin is. Do we understand that? It's the reason we needed the blood of Jesus Christ to cover us. Because God had to separate himself from mankind. And so the simple fact of the matter is that when we are choosing to walk in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit, the things that God wants to do in our lives, the places he wants to grow us, the things he wants us to do for the work of the kingdom, they get cut off. We are not able to do the things that God called us to do. And as believers, that should be a big problem. Amen? I want to be in God's will all the time because I want to know that if he wants to use me today to reach out to somebody who's lost, that I'm in the right place to do that. I want to walk in the Spirit because I want to make sure that I don't set an example for you that causes you to come up short or to stumble in your faith. I want to walk in such a way that you see what the love of God is. But when I put my flesh ahead of that, I cut off God's ability to use me in the way that he wants to use me. And if that isn't enough to cause us to think about why we need to be focused on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely or admirable, it should matter to us as Christians in particular because it hurts God. You see, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that when we made the commitment to Christ, when we died to ourselves, when we were buried with him, and when we rose, that we rose to a new life. Do you know what a new life means? It means a life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. The old man was supposed to die in the waters of baptism. When we were baptized, we committed to God, I'm going to kill that sinful man inside of me. I'm going to allow you to work through me to create a new person who can walk with you and live out what you would have us to live out. And when we choose to walk in a fleshly manner, when we choose not to think through our decisions and make sure they're in line with God, we create hostility between us and God. I don't want to live there, do you? See, this is the simple reality of it. The simple reality is that the life of flesh leads to destruction and it leads to death. And we don't have to choose that anymore, right? Paul tells us, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I become a new creation. And I have that power. And I can tell you this. I'm not going to go into my full story again, but those of you who have been here know I didn't always live a godly life. But I can tell you the difference between the feeling of death I felt as I lived that sinful life and the feeling of hope and peace that I have in Christ Jesus today, that when my head hits the pillow, I rest in peace knowing that I am secure in my Lord and Savior. There's no fear of condemnation. But being who God wants me to be and walking in the path that he wants me to walk takes a different mindset. You know, the Apostle Paul was attacked by false teachers in Corinth. And they said all kinds of horrible things about him, made all kinds of accusations that Paul was living according to the flesh, that he was timid in person but bold in his letters, and they were running him down. And as he defended himself in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he says this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." So what did he do? He demolished those arguments and every pretension. How? How did he do that? He said, "We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." If you want to know how to walk in the Spirit, you start identifying those things that are against God. You start looking at your life and comparing it to the Word of God, and where it doesn't line up, you start looking and saying, "Lord, change me. Renew my spirit. Give me a new hope, because this needs to change." And we take those thoughts captive and we say, "I will not today. I will focus on what is true. I will focus on what is noble. I will focus on what is right, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. And I will not allow the enemy to take a spot in my mind." Why? Because I want the Holy Spirit to have free reign in my life. It's the difference between life and death. And it brings my mind back to Joshua. "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and Lord, I just acknowledge my shortcoming and having my mind completely focused on you. Lord, in times like these where there's so much stress and anxiety, it's so important for our minds to be focused on you, to be focused on the hope that you have for us, to be focused on what you're calling us to be. Lord, I thank you so much that through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through his blood, you have offered us life and peace. And Lord, that we know that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That as your children, we can walk fearlessly, knowing that we are secure in your hand. But Lord, we also know that we have to let go of the fleshly nature, because our fleshly nature holds us back from being who you called us to be. Lord, I want nothing more out of this life than to know that I am walking with you, that my heart and my mind are completely given over to you. And Lord, I pray for us as a congregation that we will recognize and understand the damage that is done in our lives when we don't think in the right ways. Lord, I pray that today each of us will ask where our heads are at, whether we are focusing on the things that your Spirit has called us to focus on and is nudging us towards, or whether we are returning to the flesh, that we are letting the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life control us so that our mindset is destroying the work that you're trying to do. Keep us honest, Lord. I pray today that if there's anyone here who has not given their life to you, that today will be the day that they make that choice, that they will be ready to die to themselves in the watery grave of baptism, where you have promised that you will meet with us and do a work in us, killing the old man, filling us with your Holy Spirit, and allowing us to rise to a new life. I pray if there's anyone here that's ready to make that choice, that they'll make it today. And Lord, I just pray that you will convict us all of the need to set our minds on things above, to be focused on the spiritual, to be focused on making your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the wisdom to do this. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.